the Enterprise orbits a planet. Phasers drawn, Kirk, Chekov, McCoy, and a security lieutenant, Johnson, beam into a landscape of sand, rocks, and pink frond-like plants. Unseen by them, a shimmering sphere of light hovers behind a boulder.
Report, Mr. Chekov.
Full scan. Results negative. Radiation level normal. Atmosphere and terrain are undisturbed. No evidence of a colony nor any residual after effect of a force that might have annihilated it.
Live readings, Dr. McCoy?
Nothing. They said they were being attacked by an unidentified ship.
Which we were unable to detect upon approach.
An entire human colony. A whole settlement. 100 men, women, and children. Who did it? Why?
Kirk here.
Spock here, Captain.
The sensors have picked up a Klingon ship, closing fast.
Reflectors on, condition red. Protect yourselves. Total reply if attacked. So that's the answer. Klingons.
Trouble aboard the Klingon ship. Evidence of explosions. Massive destruction.
A party of 5 armed Klingons beam down to the planet's surface.
Captain, the enemy ship is drifting. Totally disabled.
And we never fired upon her.
Maintain red alert.
The Klingon leader knocks Kirk down.
Attacked my ship. 400 of my crew dead. Kirk, my ship is disabled. I claim yours. You are now prisoners of the Klingon Empire against which you have committed a wanton act of war.
The unseen sphere of light glows white, then red.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry, starring William Shatner. Also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock and DeForest Kelly as Dr. McCoy. Day of the Dove, written by Jerome Bixby, directed by Marvin Chomsky. The shimmering entity glows and revolves. Nearby, the Klingons have the Enterprise landing party at gunpoint.
For 3 years, the Federation and the Klingon Empire have been at peace. A treaty we have honored to the letter.
We took no action against your ship, Kang.
Were the screams of my crew imaginary? What were your orders, Kirk? To start a war, you've succeeded. To test a new weapon? We shall be happy to examine it.
There was a Federation colony on this planet. It was destroyed.
By what? No bodies, no ruins. A colony of the invisible.
Yes, the test of a new Klingon weapon, leaving no traces. Federation ships don't specialize in sneak attacks.
We have wondered when you would begin. You lured my ship into ambush by a false Klingon distress call. You will tell us why with a proper persuasion.
You received a distress call. We received a distress call.
I don't propose to spend the rest of my life on this ball of dust arguing your fantasies. The Enterprise is mine.
Instruct your transporter room to beam us aboard.
Kang offers to give Kirk his communicator back.
Go to the devil.
Kang's eyes narrow.
We have no devil, Kirk. We understand the habits of yours.
He addresses the whole party.
I shall torture you to death, one by one, until your noble captain cries enough. Who will be first?
Unseen, the swirling entity turns red. The Enterprise landing party stand obstinately mute. Then Chekov charges at the Klingon leader.
Cossacks!
Stealthy Klingon murderers!
You killed my brother, Peter! The Arkanispor research outpost! 100 peaceful people massacred! Just like you did here. My brother! You killed my brother!
I volunteered to join him. That is loyalty.
He nods. A Klingon guard places a device on Chekhov's cheek.
Chekhov!
Two Klingons hold Kirk fast.
Stop the soldier!
Taking his time, the Klingon captain nods.
Jim, you can't hand over the Enterprise.
Help Chekhov.
Kang comes up to Kirk.
Don't plan any tricks, Kirk. I will kill 100 hostages at the first sign of treachery.
I'll beam you aboard the Enterprise. Once there, no tricks.
The swarthy Klingon captain offers Kirk his communicator.
Captain, we can't. Don't let these animals have the ship.
McCoy kneels beside Chekhov's unconscious body.
Move aside. Animals, your captain crawls like one. A Klingon would never have surrendered. Order everybody in Azaria to be transported up. All weapons on him.
Two of the Klingons point their disruptor sidearms at Kirk's head.
Kirk to Enterprise. Mr. Spock.
Here, Captain.
Mr. Spock, we have guests. I just transported to Whitefield. Beam up everyone in the target area.
Kirk holds down a button on the communicator. On the Enterprise command chair, a light flashes. Spock raises an eyebrow.
Understood, Captain. Transporter room.
The five Klingons and the four Enterprise crew gather together. As they vanish, the glowing entity also disappears. On the Enterprise, only Kirk's party materialize in the transporter chamber.
Full security, Johnson, on the double. Good work, Spock.
What happened?
Our landing party is intact, Doctor.
All others suspended in transit. Who are the guests, by the way?
Klingons.
Well, they're right in here.
Johnson?
Security man on the way, sir.
Captain, leave them where they are. Non-existence. That's so many less Klingon monsters in the galaxy.
Two more armed security guards arrive.
Bring them in.
Kang and his four officers materialize. Johnson and the security detail leap up onto the transporter platform and disarm them. Kang confronts Kirk.
Liar!
I said no tricks after we reached the ship. You're a prisoner of the Federation of Planets against which you may or may not have committed an act of war.
There are still survivors aboard my ship.
Captain, we've not been able to get through to Starfleet Command. All subspace frequencies have been blocked. And there's too much radiation coming from that Klingon ship. It's a hazard to the vicinity.
Prepare to destruct.
Completing the job you started?
You wouldn't be standing here if I had.
First group from the Klingon vessel, Captain.
Four Klingon men and two women materialize. The security crew hustle them away, but one of the women comes over to Kang.
My wife, Mara, and my science officer.
Kang, what has happened?
More Federation treachery. We are prisoners.
What will they do to us? Well, I've heard of their atrocities, their death camps. They will torture us for our scientific and military information.
Apparently, you have a few things to learn about us. Detain them in the crew lounge. Program the food synthesizer to accommodate our guests. You'll be well treated, Kang.
So I have seen.
Johnson leads them away. Kirk turns to Spock.
Secure from red alert.
The entity streaks down a corridor.
But maintain general quarters. Scan this sector for other ships. Run a full check on the column. I want this thing nailed down fast.
We know what happened. That distress call.
At the moment we received the distress signal from the colony on Beta 12A, the Klingons were too far distant to have been the attackers. Moreover, they also were apparently attracted by a distress call.
The glowing entity hovers nearby as they get into the lift.
Lies! They want to start the war by pretending that we did.
Chekhov may be right. Klingons claim to have honored the truce, but there have been incidents, raids on our outposts.
No proof that the Klingons committed it.
What proof do we need? We know what a Klingon is.
Kirk stares at McCoy as the doctor gets out at Deck 7.
Our log tapes will indicate our innocence in the present situation.
Unfortunately, there's no guarantee that they will be believed.
They arrive at the bridge.
Report.
Still no contact with Starfleet Command, sir. Outside communications blanketed.
Keep trying. We've got a diplomatic tiger by the tail.
Transporter room to bridge. Klingon ship is vacated, sir.
Very good, Scotty. Mr. Sulu?
Four phases locked and ready to fire, sir.
Fire phases.
The Klingon ship vaporizes.
Sensor sweeps reveal no other ships within range, Captain.
Lieutenant Uhura?
No contact with Starfleet as yet, sir.
Mr. Sulu, change course to 17 Mark 4, warp factor 3.
Warp factor 3, sir.
The strange, shimmering entity, which seems vaguely spherical in form and no bigger than a beach ball, floats along the corridors. Golden white but tinged with blue and red, it glides towards one of the vertical access tubes and disappears. In the crew lounge, Kang paces up and down among his surviving crew.
When I take the ship, I'll have Kirk's head stuffed and hung on his cabin wall.
They will kill us before we can act.
No, they wish to question us. We're in our strength, our plans. They never will.
We are 40 against 400.
4,000 throats may be cut in one night by a running man.
Patience, vigilance. They will make their mistake. Capture of the Enterprise will give us knowledge to end this war quickly.
On the bridge, unseen by any of the duty crew, the entity briefly appears. Uhura adjusts her earpiece.
Captain!
She throws down her pen.
This doesn't make sense. Carriers are normal, channels are open, there's still no outside contact. I don't understand it, sir. Could the Klingons be doing something?
The bridge rocks. The Enterprise banks steeply to port and accelerates.
So, change of course. Accelerating. Helm dead. Auxiliary navigation dead. Override. Nothing response, Captain.
Kirk clambers back to the command chair, looking anxiously at the forward view screen, and opens a comms channel.
Scotty, stop all engines.
The controls have gone crazy. Something's taken over.
Scotty.
The engines, sir, they've gone to one line by themselves.
New course. 902 Mark 5. That'll take us out of the galaxy.
The Enterprise plows through space at extraordinary speed.
Captain, report coming in from the lower decks. Emergency bulkheads have closed. Almost 400 crewmen are trapped down there, sir.
Kirk and a security detail go straight to the crew lounge.
Most interesting. The bulk of your crew trapped, your ship racing from this galaxy at wild speeds. Delightful. How did I perform this sabotage, Kirk? All my men are here.
Johnson, get down to security, search every section. Some Klingons may have beamed aboard undetected from the wrecked ship. And get down to engineering, help Scotty hammer things back to normal, and free those trapped crewmen. And before I put you in the brig, there's a little something I owe you.
He thumps Kang on the jaw. The Klingon captain staggers back and puts out a hand to steady himself. The solitaire game at his side turns into a sword. More objects change into ancient weapons. The Klingons grab them.
Phasers?
The phasers in the Enterprise crew's hands turn into swords. Kang and Kirk look at each other uncertainly. Kang and the Klingons attack the Enterprise crew with their swords. Kirk and the security detail retreat into the corridor.
Stand and fight, you coward!
As they fight, Johnson is stabbed. Kirk and Kang duel with swords. Kirk knocks Kang down and retreats with the security guards into the lift.
Sick bay.
He looks with concern at Lieutenant Johnson's stab wound. The security team drag Johnson away.
Bridge.
On the bridge, all the crew's phases have changed into swords.
The Klingons are free. Armed as we are, they'll try and take the ship. Scotty, how many men do we have?
392 trapped below decks.
Deploy forces to protect your section and the auxiliary control center.
Check the armory and try and free those trapped crewmen.
The doors and bulkheads won't budge. We'll have to cut through.
Blow out the bulkheads if you have to. We need numbers. What kind of luck have you had controlling the ship's speed?
No, sir. She's a projectile at warp 9. And don't ask me what's holding her together.
5-minute report, Scotty. Kirk out.
Full sensor scan of the ship. Report on any movement by the Klingons. The Klingon Empire has maintained a dueling tradition. They think they can beat us with swords.
Captain, neither the Klingon technology nor ours is capable of this. The instantaneous transmutation of matter. I doubt that they are responsible.
Any other logical candidate?
None. However, if they had such power, would they not have used it to create more effective weapons? And only for themselves.
Sisulu, get below. Take command of engineering and auxiliary control.
Aye, sir.
Captain.
Mr. Chekhov.
Captain.
Mr. Chekhov, as you were. Chekhov,
sir. Let me go through. I've got a personal score to settle with the Klingons.
This is no time for a vendetta. Maintain your post.
Captain.
Chekhov, maintain your post.
Don't try to stop me, Captain. I saw what they left of Pyotr. I swore on his grave I would avenge his murder.
Chekhov, carrying a short Roman stabbing sword, leaps into the turbo lift. Sulu looks back at Kirk.
What's Chekhov's grudge against the Klingons? Who's Pyotr?
His only brother, killed in a Klingon raid.
His brother? He never had a brother. He's an only child.
Sulu, get down to engineering.
Aye, sir.
Security, this is the captain. Find Mr. Chekhov and bring him to the bridge.
Captain, why would Chekhov believe he has a brother?
I don't know. But he does. And now he wants revenge for a non-existent loss.
Chekhov dashes out of the lift on one of the lower decks and moves stealthily down the corridor. The entity appears behind him, glowing red. In sickbay, McCoy tends to the wounded.
Rules, even in war. You don't keep hacking at a man after he's down. Hammer that Numenol capsule.
A medic passes him a tray and he administers the Numenol to Johnson. Another security guard is brought in with stab wounds. Two Klingon officers step warily into the auxiliary control room. Check it's deserted and beckon the Klingon captain Kang and his wife Mara in. They bring up a schematic of the Enterprise on a computer screen.
Layout and specifications of the Enterprise, Commander.
Enemy numbers are the same as ours. We have a fighting balance.
Then we take this ship.
A ship that is headed towards the end of the galaxy?
In time and time. We must take these sections. First, engineering.
Kirk here.
Scott here, sir. There's no use trying to free those men down below. The phaser torches, they won't cut through the bulkheads, nor the doors, nor the decks. There's something happened to the metal.
What about the armory?
Well, I'm there now, sir, and you never saw such a fine collection of antiques in your life.
Get back to engineering. Try and reestablish engine control. And talk to Ordnance about manufacturing phaser replacements.
Aye, sir.
Scotty spots a beautiful Scottish sword in the sword rack. He swaps it for the one he carries.
You're a beauty.
On the bridge.
What blazes is going on?
Scans indicate that our forces and those of the Klingons are exactly equal at 38 each. The Klingons control deck 6 and starboard deck 7, while we control all sections above.
Constant surveillance, Mr. Spock.
Most curious, Captain.
Come on.
There appear to be more life energy units on board than can be accounted for by the presence of the Enterprise crew plus the Klingons. A considerable discrepancy.
Could more Klingons have beamed aboard?
I shall attempt a compensatory reading of Klingon units.
In the main engineering section, the shimmering red entity hovers above the main dilithium chambers, apparently invisible to the crew. Outside the door to engineering, Sulu and a security crewman stand on guard. Scotty appears behind them, climbing the ladder in the access tube.
An
any signs of those devils, Mr. Sulu?
All clear, Mr. Scott.
As Scotty goes through to engineering, a group of Klingons creep into the upper gallery of the main engineering section and leap down on the crew. Scotty defends himself with his claymore as he retreats back into the corridor. Sulu and the guard dispose of Scotty's attackers.
They've taken engineering. I don't know how many more of those Klingons are around, but we'll split up here and try to make it back to the bridge.
Aye.
The Klingons overpower the engineers. Kang and his wife enter engineering.
Additional Klingons detected, Captain. It is an alien life force, a single entity. I cannot ascertain its location.
An alien life force. We must make contact. Find out what it wants.
Readings being diverted to the library computer for analysis. The computer report. What purpose?
Insufficient data for further analysis.
A brother that never existed. A phantom colony. Imaginary distress calls. The creation of these weapons. Do you sense a pattern, Mr. Spock?
If the alien is creating these events, Captain, it is apparently capable of manipulating matter and mind.
Now it has control of the Enterprise and taking us out of the galaxy. But why?
Captain, I am constrained to point out that since minds are evidently being influenced, we cannot know at this moment whether our own memories are completely accurate and true.
We must talk to Kang. Bury the hatchet.
An appropriate choice of terms, Captain. However, it is notoriously difficult to arrange a truce with the Klingons once blood has been drawn.
A truce? Are you serious? I've got men in sick bay. Some of them dying. Atrocities committed on their persons. And you talk about making peace with these fiends? Why, if our backs were turned, they'd jump us in a minute. And you know what Klingons do to prisoners. Slave labor, death planets, experiments.
McCoy.
While you're talking, they're planning attacks. This is a fight to the death. And we'd better start trying to win it.
We are attempting to end it, Doctor. By reason, preferably. There is an alien on board which may have created this situation.
Who cares what started it, Mr. Spock? We're in it! Those murderers. We should wipe out every one of them!
The alien is the real threat. That's the enemy we have to wipe out.
Sick bay calling, Doctor. There are more wounded men requiring your attention.
Eyes full of rage, McCoy heads for the lift, then turns back.
How many more men must die before you two begin to act like military men? Instead of fools!
Kirk, Uhura, and Spock look on astounded as he storms into the lift.
Kirk here.
This is Kang.
Kang, there's something important I must discuss with you.
I have captured your engineering section and now control this ship's power and life support systems.
I have deprived all areas except our own. You will die. Suffocation in the icy cold of space.
On the bridge, Kirk, Spock, and Lieutenant Uhura look up in alarm as the lights start to go out one by one. The entity stalks the corridors. On the bridge,
the Enterprise is heading out of our galaxy, controlled by a mysterious alien somewhere aboard the ship. Engineering has been taken over by Klingons, who have cut off life support systems. Mr. Sulu.
Captain.
Get down to emergency manual control, try to protect our life support circuits and auxiliary power.
Aye, Captain. Scotty, check over the mate, Captain.
I'm glad they found.
We should have left those fuzz-faced goons in the transporter. That's right where they belong.
Scotty.
Non-existence. Now they can study the Enterprise, add our technology to theirs, change the balance of power. You've jeopardized the Federation!
Scotty, easy, Mr. Scott.
Keep your fucking hands off me. Just keep away. Your feelings might be hurt, you green-blooded half-breed.
May I say that I have not thoroughly enjoyed serving with humans. I find their illogic and foolish emotions a constant irritant.
Then transfer out, freak!
Spock steps towards Scotty, who raises his sword.
Gentlemen! Spock! Stop it, you half-human!
Kirk forces Spock to let Scotty go. They all stare at one another.
What are we saying? What are we doing to each other?
Fascinating. A result of stress.
We've been under stress before. It's never set us at each other's throats. What? This is war!
There isn't any war!
He turns away.
Or is there?
Have we forgotten how to defend ourselves? What's happening to us? We've been trained to think in other terms. And war, we've been trained to fight its causes if necessary. Then why are we behaving like a group of savages? Look at me. Look at me.
He turns back to Spock and Scotty, realization dawning in his eyes.
Two forces aboard the ship. Each of them equally armed. Has a war been staged for us, complete with weapons and ideology and patriotic drum beating? Even Spock. Even race hatred?
Recent events would seem to be directed toward a magnification of the basic hostilities between humans and Klingons. Apparently, it is by design that we fight. We seem to be pawns.
But what's the game? And whose? And what are the rules?
It is most urgent that we locate the alien entity immediately and determine its motives and a method for halting its activities.
Without sensors? All our power down? This thing can go anywhere!
Yes.
He goes to the command chair and opens a comms channel.
What's the Sulu report?
No good, Captain. Circuits are in, but systems just aren't responding.
Lights come on.
We're getting something.
Aye, Captain. Power and life support restored. Remote's on standby.
Good work.
But, Captain, I didn't do it. Everything just came on by itself.
In the auxiliary control room, Mara looks up at the systems panel.
Their life support systems have resumed.
SOS may be operating.
Start scanning. Let's find that alien.
Holding steady.
Cause them to be unsteady.
Mara tries to regain control of the systems. She looks nervously at Kang.
They appear to be controlled from another location. Also unable to affect ship's course for return to our empire.
Of Kirk's tricks. Could he bypass his circuit? What power is it that supports our battle yet starves our victory? Power. Interrupted at their main life support couplings. Where?
Number 6 deck.
Kang nods.
Come.
Mara leaves engineering accompanied by a sword-wielding Klingon officer. The spherical entity, glowing white, glides down a corridor, passes straight through a closed door, and vanishes.
Alien detected in the engineering section near reactor number 3.
Let's go.
They leave Uhura on the bridge. The entity drifts along a corridor on deck 6. Behind it, as if being drawn along, Chekov climbs down an access tube and creeps stealthily along the corridor, sword in hand. Hearing the lift door open, Chekhov ducks behind a screen and hides in the shadows. Mara, in her short tunic and black leather leggings, precedes the Klingon officer down the corridor. Chekhov waits till they pass and stabs the Klingon in the back. He grabs Mara, throws her up against a wall, raises his sword, then stops, looking down at her slim body.
You don't die yet. You're not human. But you're very beautiful. Very beautiful.
Mara closes her eyes in dread. Chekhov puts his hand up to her trembling face, then slides it down the front of her body. He clamps his hand over her mouth. Kirk comes round the corner and drags Chekhov off. Kirk thumps him.
He's not responsible.
Chekhov slides down the wall unconscious. Kirk crouches down and looks at him.
What have I done?
He looks up and over his shoulder at Mara, who stares back uncomprehendingly. Kirk goes towards her. She flinches. He looks down at her torn uniform.
There's an alien entity aboard the ship. It's forcing us to fight. We don't want to. We don't know what its motive is. We're trying to find out. You must help us. Take me to Kang. A temporary truce, that's all I ask.
She stares back suspiciously. Kirk takes her by the shoulder.
Spock, take her.
Kirk picks up Chekhov like a sleeping child.
Chekhov.
He follows Spock.
Is this what's in store for us? From here on in, violence, hatred.
As he passes down the corridor, the entity appears behind him. In sickbay, McCoy runs a scanner over Johnson. Kirk carries the unconscious Chekhov in and lays him down on the bed. Spock follows with Mara. McCoy examines the young Russian officer.
Brainwaves show almost paranoid mania. What happened?
He lost control. So did I. We're becoming animal warriors. Let's go, Spock.
Orderly. Jim.
McCoy goes over to the others.
Johnson's heart wound is almost completely healed. The same with the other casualties. Sword wounds in the vital organs. Massive trauma, shock. They're all healing at a fantastic rate.
It would appear that the entity wants us alive.
Why? So we can fight? And fight and keep coming back for more like some bloody coliseum? What's next, the roar of crowds?
Perhaps human and Klingon psychologies and combat capabilities are being tested by an alien with designs on both powers.
Gentlemen, if we are pawns, you're looking at one who is extremely sorry.
I understand, Doctor. I, too, felt a brief surge of racial bigotry. Most distasteful.
Let's find the alien. You come with us. Maybe we can prove to you that it exists.
He takes Mara by the arm and leads her away. Johnson looks up from his sickbay bed, his eyes full of anger. As Kirk, Mara, and Spock come down the corridor, they see the entity. Spock scans it with his tricorder. Glimmering white and red, the spherical entity drifts up towards the ceiling. Kirk and Spock approach cautiously. Mara follows.
What is it?
Totally unfamiliar.
Mara glances at Spock, listening.
What is it you want? What are you doing here?
Johnson appears.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Duty? Did McCoy release you from sickbay?
I released myself.
Then get back to sickbay.
Not on your life, sir. I'm fit and ready for action. Klingons almost did me in once, and I'm not even the score.
I order you to get
back. I've got my orders. I'm obeying orders. Kill the Klingons. It's them or us, isn't it?
Johnson!
Johnson attacks Kirk. Spock disables him with a Vulcan nerve pinch. Kirk looks back up at the entity. Spock and Mara approach.
Fascinating. During Lieutenant Johnson's emotional outburst, his expression of hatred and lust for vengeance, the alien's life energy level increased. When the lieutenant became unconscious,
The alien lost energy.
It subsists on the emotions of others.
This one appears to be strengthened by mental radiations of hostility, violent intentions.
It exists on the hate of others.
To put it simply. And it has acted as a catalyst, creating this situation. In order to satisfy that need, it has brought together opposing forces, provided crude instruments, in an effort to promote the most violent mode of conflict.
And kept numbers and resources balanced so that it can maintain a constant state of violence. It's got to have a vulnerable area. We've got to get rid of it.
Then all hostile attitudes on board must be eliminated. The fighting must end, and soon.
Oh, we're a doomed ship, traveling forever between galaxies, filled with eternal bloodlust, eternal warfare. Kang has got to listen. We've got to pool our knowledge and get rid of this thing.
Edging his way past the entity, Kirk goes over to an intercom station.
Kang. Kang, this is Captain Kirk. Kang, you read me?
Commander, it's a trick!
Kirk clamps his hand over Mara's mouth and signals to Spock, who seizes her by the arm.
Kang.
He turns off the intercom.
He won't answer.
The alien is affecting his mind, Captain. Soon it will become so powerful that none of us will be able to resist it.
Scotty, sir.
The ship's dilithium crystals are deteriorating. We can't stop the process.
Time factor?
In 12 minutes, we'll be totally without engine power.
Well, do whatever you can. Kirk out.
He looks at Mara and then over at the alien entity. Mara and Spock, following the direction of his eyes, watch as the entity vanishes through the corridor wall.
And so we drift in space, with only hatred and bloodshed aboard.
He turns to Mara.
Now do you believe? Captain's log, stardate. Armageddon. We must find a way to defeat the alien force of hate that has taken over the Enterprise, stop the war now, or spend eternity in futile, bloody violence.
There's no change, Captain. The dilithium crystals are discharging.
There's nothing we can do about it.
If I could talk to Kang, somehow cut through the Klingon lines and make peace before it's too late.
We have 9 minutes, 53 seconds to power zero. There is, of course, a logical alternative. Kang's wife is, after all, our prisoner. Perhaps a threat.
Aye. Now that's something the Klingons would understand.
Kirk looks at Mara, considering, then drags her down into the well and stands her by the command chair, threatening her with his sword. He turns and opens an intercom channel.
Kang. Kang, this is Captain Kirk.
I know you can hear me, so don't cut me off. We have Mara, your wife. We talk truce now, or she dies. Reply.
She has 5 seconds to live. Reply.
Bearded like a Mongol warrior, the Klingon commander's expression doesn't waver.
She is a victim of war, Captain. She understands.
You called my bluff.
You're not going.
The Federation doesn't kill or mistreat its prisoners. You've been listening to propaganda fables. How much time?
8 minutes, 42 seconds.
So this was no trick.
It's the alien that's done this. We're in its power. Our people and yours.
We only wanted to stop the fighting to save us all.
We have always fought. We must. We are hunters, Captain. Tracking and taking what we need. There are poor planets in the Klingon systems. We must push outward if we are to survive.
There's another way to survive. Mutual trust and help.
Mara looks from Kirk to Spock and Scotty.
I will help you now.
How?
I will take you to Kang. I will add my voice to yours.
I wouldn't trust her, Captain.
We can't get through the Klingon defenses in time. Unless... Spock. Intra-ship beaming. From one section to another, it's possible.
It has rarely been done because of the danger involved. Pinpoint accuracy is required. If the transportee should materialize inside a solid object, a deck or a wall...
Even if it could work! Wait, she may be leading you into a trap!
We're all in a trap. This is the only way out.
We'll go with you.
No. That'll start the final battle.
He gives Mara a searching look and smiles.
I believe her.
He leads her to the lift.
Prepare the transporter. We'll wait for your signal.
But she can't guarantee that Kang will stop to listen. Right, Mr. Spock?
No one can guarantee the actions of another.
Kirk and Mara come into the transporter room. She watches closely as Kirk activates the control console.
Your automatic setting is laid in, Captain.
When transporter is energized, you will have 8 seconds to get to the pads.
I hope your computations are correct, Mr. Spock.
You will know in 7.9 seconds, Captain.
Kirk leads Mara onto the pads, then returns to put his sword down on the console. The Klingons look round in surprise as Mara and Kirk materialize.
Mara, you're alive. You bring a surprise.
Kang, wait. He's come alone, unarmed. He must talk to you.
Brave Captain, what about...
No! Listen to him. We are all in danger.
Mara, before you start killing, give me 1 minute.
Kang, don't!
What have they done to you, Mara? Are you out of your mind? What have they done to you?
He looks down at her torn uniform.
I see why the human beast did not kill you.
They didn't harm me. Listen to it.
Kang pushes Mara towards his own men. She grabs a sword from one of them and throws it to Kirk. The Klingon officers drag Mara off and back away, allowing Kirk and Kang to fight in single combat.
Stop! Stop, please!
Kang grapples Kirk to a standstill.
With your death, we win.
Nobody wins. Have any more of your men died? We can't be killed. There's an alien aboard.
It wants us alive.
The entity hovers nearby.
No doubt you will reassemble after I have hacked you to bits.
As they fight, Spock, McCoy, and a 4-strong security detail approach. The Klingons fight them off in the entryway. In the main engineering section, Kang and Kirk continue to fight. Kirk gains the upper hand and puts his sword to Kang's throat. They both see the entity.
Look, Kang, for the rest of our lives, 1,000 lifetimes, senseless violence, fighting, while an alien has total control over us.
Outside, the remaining Klingons continue their sword fight with the Enterprise security crew. Kirk hurls his sword at the entity. He turns to Kang.
All right. All right. In the heart, in the head, I won't stay dead. Next time I'll do the same to you, I'll kill you. And it goes on and on. The good old game of war, pawn against pawn. Stopping the bad guys. While somewhere, some thing sits back and laughs. And starts it all over again.
Kang looks up at the hovering sphere of light.
Let's jump in. Those who hate and fight must stop themselves, Doctor. Otherwise, it is not stopped.
Kang, I am your wife. I'm a Klingon. And I lie for them. Listen to Kirk. He is telling the truth.
Be a pawn. Be a toy. Be a good soldier that never questions orders.
Kang looks up at the entity again, looks back at Kirk, and reluctantly throws down his sword. Mara smiles.
Klingons kill for their own purposes. All fighting must end, Captain, to weaken the alien before our dilithium crystals are gone.
Kirk goes over to an intercom station in the wall.
Lieutenant Uhura.
Yes, Captain.
Put me on shipwide intercom.
Aye, sir. Ready, Captain.
Kang comes over.
This is Captain Kirk. A truce is ordered. The fighting is over. Lay down your weapons.
The fight continues. Kirk nods to Kang.
This is Kang. Cease hostilities. Disarm.
The fighting stops. Spock looks up at the entity.
The cessation of violence appears to have weakened it, Captain. I suggest that good spirits might make an effective weapon.
Kirk looks at Spock and Kang speculatively, goes over to the foot of the steps to the upper level, and glares up at the entity.
Get off my ship. You're a dead duck here. You're powerless. We know about you. And we don't want to play. Maybe there are others like you around. Maybe you've caused a lot of suffering, a lot of history, but that's all over. We'll be on guard now. We'll be ready for you. So ship out. Come on, haul it.
Out already.
Out! We need no urging to hate humans. But for the present, only a fool fights in a burning house. Out!
Kang slaps Kirk's back heartily. The entity glides away through a closed door. It drifts out of a vent in the starship's lower cylindrical hull and floats off into space. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.